and a good morning. It's now 9:06. I'm Dave Lewis. I'm going to be filling in for Brandon Peoples, and we discussed trying to do this because there's so much that's going on right now with the COVID-19 aspect and so many entities. In fact, we just had Mary Beth Kiefer on from the Flint Hills Breadbasket just moments ago saying that they are open as usual for business and are well-stocked. And so that, you know, with a lot of concerns, you know, that's one entity that's ready to continue to help, especially here when we have kids that are out of school. And
right.
They prepare for this. For every summer. So, anyway, I'm
Dave
Lewis.
And,
and Cheryl Collins is here for the Riley County Historical Museum Society and everything else. She's our local resident historian that knows anything and everything.
I don't think I would go that far.
Oh, okay.
However, yeah. I will try to get the answer.
And you have plenty of resources to do that.
We do.
And, you know, you come in every month and you know, I was reflecting back on when you were here last month. Jed Dunham was here.
Yes.
And one of the subjects was the 1918 flu.
Yes.
And how that – in fact, I remember what – it was a couple of weeks ago that in my historical elements that I get, you know, one of my new – history resources talked about that was the day that Fort Riley was the, you know, basically
it was
central zero central for the flu in 1918.
And of course, there's been some further research, and Jed asserts that Fort Riley was not the mm-hmm. start mm-hmm. of the 1918 flu pandemic, but there's always room to discuss those things.
How many different, and I don't know of any other pandemics, global pandemics there have been. You know, we had H1N1, we had swine flu.
Right,
I don't know that those were all global, though, not to this level.
There have been, I believe there have been. I think we need to do some research on that, because I think the CDC on their website has a discussion of the 1918 flu, and then it also lists other flu outbreaks that were worldwide. So I think we have had a few, but not to the level that the 1918 was.
Yeah. You have plenty of toilet paper there at the museum to
yes, we do.
Get you through for a while?
Yes, we do.
What is the status of the museum as far as, you know, hours, and is everything still open as usual?
Yes. Right now we're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, Saturday and Sunday, 2 to 5. The Riley County Commission, of course, will monitor things, and if they feel we need to close, they will close us.
Okay. Well, do you have any activities that are scheduled in
no.
the near future? That
no. No, we didn't really have any programs scheduled in the near future, so and we won't be planning any right now.
Yeah.
Because, of course, one of the things that they're trying to cut down on is groups
sure.
coming together. So
sure, but you didn't
yeah.
have anything scheduled
no,
before that announcement
not.
That you're not going to be able to host.
Right.
Okay.
Which is – I'm sure that's caused lots of disruption.
For a lot of folks, yeah.
Yes,
and
it
I was,
has.
You know, we were talking on the air this morning that there's not probably an entity or an individual that has not been affected by
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. But – you know, these things happen, and we've had periods where we've had outbreaks of illness in the communities. I think of are measles outbreaks or smallpox.
Tuberculosis.
And so, you know, we've had to make health decisions in the community with quarantines and limiting groups and so on in the past. One of the – I remember during a smallpox epidemic at one point, they put an armed guard on the bridge coming from Pottawatomie County to specifically keep people from coming across the bridge.
So, really?
So there's been different measures in the past that have been used. So, this is a different scale. We're in a different world today than those worlds we lived in the past. But there's been similar things, and we got through those. We'll get through this.
Yeah. One of the things that we wanted to talk about, and I think that this is going to be the main topic of discussion, is an anniversary celebration. We're going to go back to look at one particular year for a little while, 1950.
Yeah.
Because that was 70 years ago, and there's some, you know, that may be significant because of the radio station. But also, you have been gearing up for a sesquicentennial celebration for the community of Riley.
Yeah, Riley, we will be celebrating its 150th in September. And so we've been working on that with the folks up at Riley City and had a really good time learning more about Riley City history. So people can keep tuned in and mm-hmm. hear more about what their plans are. They're still forming the plans right now.
How did the formation of Riley at least come about?
Well, of course, they had settlers up there pretty early, very, you know, few and scattered. But then they had at least three town sites that were established, the Union Town site, 1870, and then they had a Riley City. I'm trying to remember if I got them right. I'll have to come back and talk more about that.
Okay.
I'll gather up more history about it. And then, of course, the railroad coming through changed things. As railroads do, they like to have the land around the station. So they put in a different Riley Center. And so then eventually those three entities merge. So it's a complicated history, but a really, really interesting one. So I'll bring that back. One of the things I wanted to mention today, if listeners have topics that they'd really like to hear more about, I think the 1918 flu topic was one that a listener called in and said, I'd like to hear more about that. So mm-hmm. if folks have that, ideas of things they'd like to hear more about, call in today and tell us, and we'll see if we can't gather up some information. And I'll bring some more about Riley
City. Or at least give us some details
City.
Of what we do know, or what you know.
Oh, yes. And if I tell you off the top of my head, I might get things very wrong. So I always like to do a little research to begin with.
537-1350 is the number here if you'd like to make a comment or have a question for Cheryl Collins of the Riley County Historical Museum. Looking back at 1950, and I know some of this discussion here that we brought up today was what this area was like back in 1950. And in 1950, for at least us here, is significant because that's our birth year here at News
yes.
Radio KMAN, Manhattan Broadcasting. And our first date, June 4, 1950.
That's right. And that's why I wanted to talk about 1950 today.
Okay.
Because I think it's fun to look back and see what things were like in the community at that time. Population-wise, Riley County had a population of 33,405. And, of course, that's compared today to – I got the 2018 population figure of Riley County, 73,703. Manhattan had a population in 1950 of 19,056. And today that compares to roughly 54,954. So significantly less population. Ogden had 845, Randolph 391, Riley 414, and Leonardville 320. So and today, looking at population figures, Ogden 1,978. Riley 954, Leonardville 436, and Randolph 158.
And Randolph was the one that saw a decrease in the population because of the relocation due to Tuttle Creek.
Right, right, right. Randolph was a very well-developed town in 1950. It had all the amenities of a really, really active country business town. So, yes, that changed their lives quite
a bit. Significant.
Very significant.
And, we have a phone
call. 1950, we're on the cusp of that change.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Jerry, you're on the line. Good morning. You're on KMAN's In Focus.
Good morning, Dave and Cheryl. Thanks for the information. Cheryl, could you also speak to the tuberculosis outbreak of 1918? I'd appreciate hearing about that, too. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I'll be glad to see if I can find some more information about that.
Isn't that what triggered what's his name?
Jed?
No, the don't spit on the sidewalk.
Oh, Dr. Crumbine.
Dr. Crumbine.
Oh, absolutely. He was very active in fighting tuberculosis. And tuberculosis was a significant illness. The Sunset Cemetery record we have lists cause of death, and consumption is what they called it usually in that write-up. It was very common. And it was especially common in families that lived in close quarters and some of the poorer families. But that's not to say it was only something poor families got. It was pretty universal throughout the community. So I'll be glad to see if I can find some more information about that and maybe come back and talk about
But it was tuberculosis that Dr. Crumbine was trying to
don't
to
spit on
fight.
The sidewalk.
The don't spit on the sidewalk bricks were prominent. Yes. Of course, he was at Dodge City as a medical doctor there and went on to become the state's first director of health.
It's certainly very active.
Right.
And then went back east and was in public health back there as well. And that period that he was working was really the cutting edge beginning of public health improvements. And of course, I think that's really, really important today because that public health structure that can figure out what we should do in times of illness like today is really, really important. So those things they learned and as Crumbine promoted through that public health system, I think is really important to us.
100 years later, we're just extending the same concepts.
Absolutely. And one of the things I've heard speculated is our new longevity. You know, we live as a people a lot longer than people earlier in history. A good part of that is public health advances, immunization, and learning how disease spreads and then finding ways to try to keep it from spreading.
537-1350 is the number here at News Radio to KMAN to visit with Cheryl Collins. 1950, there was a lot of things that were going on. You know, if you take a look at it from a national perspective, and I think probably one of the things that really stands out is the Korean War.
Yes. And, of course, the Korean War started in June of that year and lasted until 1953. So in 1950, if you look back, the World War II had ended in 1945. People were coming back, wanting to get back into their lives. And then we were engaged in another war. So that really must have been upsetting to people to see that happen again. This, of course, is an anniversary year for Korean War. Mm-hmm. And the Veterans Coalition, the Flint Hills Veterans Coalition, just met the other day. And their theme for this year will be recognizing Korean War veterans and two of the Korean War veterans that are on the Veterans Coalition Committee will be the Grand Marshals. So
okay.
I think that'll be really interesting. And maybe some more about the Korean War would be interesting to come in and talk about sometime.
Looks like Jed's going to be busy too. Put him to work, huh?
Absolutely. In September of 1950, Corporal Ralph Kilner from the United States Marine Corps died in Korea, and Corporal Kilner's parents lived here in Manhattan. So that was something that affected directly Manhattan people, and obviously with Fort Riley here. By 1950, Fort Riley was built up almost as many people as during World War II. So clearly the military had seen this on the horizon and were building their personnel and system for when needed.
You know, when we talk about the local side of things, what the numbers were, Kansas State University has also seen significant growth in the last 70 years, even though enrollments declined somewhat here.
Since 1950.
10-15% or so in the last few years.
But since 1950,
it's still much bigger than it was.
In 1950, there were 5,907 students. And my assumption is those were probably residential students. Today, in 2019, there were 20,799 K-State students. But I don't know how many of that number are online students, because that is a significant change in especially higher education that we have today from 1950. You had correspondence courses and things like that in 1950, but not to the extent that you have today with online classes.
And it was just, what, 3 years ago or so, we were up to like 23, 24,000.
Right. There's
so,
been,
you know,
there's been
that
some
bit,
decline.
That
and I'm certain decline in residential students. So I think that's a significant factor that, well, I mean, I think you can see that if you drive through the community. You see for rent signs when previously you never saw that. So that's a change here recently, but an even more significant change between 1950 and today. Lots more K-State students.
We have lots more to talk about here as we visit with as we visit with Cheryl Collins here this morning from the Riley County Historical Museum, recapping 1950, 70 years. And if you have any questions, feel free to call. Let us know. 537-1350 is the number here at KMAN. Back in just a couple of moments.